Bonjour à tous, bonjour à toutes, vous êtes sur Radio Emma et aujourd'hui nous avons la chance d'avoir en studio avec nous Cog and the Zongo Brigade. Cog, ce sont donc deux artistes qui viennent d'Angleterre, l'un est ghanéen, l'autre jamaïcain, et ils nous font l'honneur, la joie et le plaisir en fait de venir parler à Radio Emma de leur adolescence, de leur parcours, de musicien, d'artiste. Ils ont plein de choses à nous raconter. Cette interview va être en anglais, elle sera traduite plus tard. Donc pour l'instant, place à Cog and the Zongo Brigade. Hi guys!
Hello!
So who is who? I need you to give me your names.
I'll introduce my brother. This is K.O.G.
Yeah, and now introduce my brother, and that's Franz Von. Yeah.
All right, so we have K.O.G. and Franz Von. Do you want me to call you Cog? Or Kweku during the interview?
I like Kweku, yeah. I like
Kweku. Kweku will do. And Franz Von, thank you so much for coming over and spread the words for the kids and about your teenage period of life, about everything you can share with us. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Really. Oh,
thank you so much for having us.
So we'll start with the first question that we'll always ask. What kind of teenagers were you guys?
I was a really good teenager.
Oh, You're not allowed to lie.
I'm not lying.
Okay, so that's Franz Von now. Talking.
So I went to church a lot on Sundays, and I think the moral stuff from church sort of there. And growing up in Jamaica, if you're a bad kid, you can actually get beats.
Ooh.
And I didn't like beats, so I tried to be a good kid.
That's a good point. You were born in Jamaica?
Yeah.
And you were raised up there?
Yeah.
Until
I was age 13.
That is perfect for us, like perfect timing for us to talk about you. But yeah, you were like a shy teenager, you were a social teenager, you had friends, you were surrounded by people or not?
I was a really confident teenager growing up in Jamaica. But then when I moved to England, because it was a new setting, I sort of lost a lot of confidence. And it made me a good kid as well, because I was scared about getting deported back to Jamaica while all my family would still be in England.
Ooh.
So it made me sort of fix up and behave.
All right. What made you come to England?
Financial reasons. My mom had a job in, she got a job in England, so we all moved to England.
Okay. So was you and your mom? Or you and your family?
Me and my mom, my two brothers. I already had a sister who lived here with my mom. Well, not here, in England.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so how did it affect you, this change? Because it was really like during your period of like teenager.
Yeah, it took like a lot of confidence away, and like I was learning everything new again. The cultural difference was massive. Food was different. Everything.
Weather.
The weather was a massive change. So just adapting and trying to fit in. So I had to like sort of build my confidence again. But yeah, the experience was amazing. It's like it helps shape you as a person as well.
All right. And did you make friends like easily in England?
Yeah. Easily, yeah. Because I was surprised a lot of people knew about Jamaica and Bob Marley and music, the culture. So just like, oh, hey.
That's where I'm from.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. What about you, Kweku?
I wasn't particularly a good teenager, to be honest.
Where did you grow up, actually?
I grew up in Ghana, and I spent most of my teenage years in Ghana. So I only came to England to do my master's, and I just got lost, and I started doing music. But in Ghana, being a teenager in Ghana, you'd, like Franz was saying, you'd have to be strong. It's a whole different setting, because it's like a third world country, so you'd always have to fight for what you want, you know what I mean? And there's not a lot of resources that are specially put in place for teenagers. Like in Europe, you know, teenagers with problems, and that there's always a place to go. But in third world countries, it's you yourself or your parents or your teacher or whatever, and there's not a lot of resources or support for you. So you're either a good teenager or you're a bad teenager and get an intervention at a point of your life, and then but you don't stray too bad. But I wasn't really bad, but I wasn't a good teenager, as in, like, you know, I was always like missing school and I wouldn't go to school. But at that time, there was nothing really to go to school for, really. So it was like I was just a typical teenager. Like they would say, I wasn't troubled or anything, but I just was one of these teenagers who wanted to explore.
You weren't bad, but you weren't good.
yeah, I wasn't bad.
But were you like hanging out in the streets with your friends and
stuff? That's a typical kind of stuff. Like, because my mom and dad as well, they worked full time. And in Africa, if you don't work, you won't eat. So they work full time, and me and my cousins and my friends will come back from school and hang out on the street, play football, and my mom will be like, and we'll get in so much, I mean, serious trouble. The trouble ranges from serious to non-serious, but
no, too serious to very serious.
Yeah, but then we got our lives back, because as you grow, you in, from that kind of setting, you know that there's no rescue for you. You either fix up and become somebody good, or else you end up on the street like everybody. So you either has to take education serious, or if it's an apprentice job that you've got, your parents have got for you at 16, 14, you take it serious. Because if you don't, then you know you're going to starve. There's nothing like benefits. There's nothing like government handouts or anything in third world countries. Yeah. You just have to.
But at this time, were you driving your parents crazy?
Yeah, I was. To be honest, I was. My mom and dad were, yeah. But then they always knew I had something, and I was one of these child. I was one of these children. If it was in Europe, I would have been called ADHD. Mm-hmm. Like I had attention deficiency. But
this is what we have here in the hospital. Actually.
Yes. Yeah, but in Africa, nobody cares about it. They just say you are a troubled child, and you get beat and you change. But you know what I mean? So I had to go through it because my parents were really strict parents. They're like, they were in church. They were like big people in the community. And I was like the black sheep,
yeah, literally. Enough. So, wow. Do you have brothers and sisters?
No, I'm an only child. So okay. It's like from where we are very, very, I was an only child, but it wasn't an only child as in I was spoiled just because I was just an only child, but like in a really difficult area. And I had to grow up like everybody else. And so it gave me a bit of, yeah. I wasn't the normal teenager, but like I'm happy things turned out.
were you going to church too?
Yeah, we all. Yeah, it's a thing. Yeah.
In third world countries, church is big.
Yeah,
religion. I think countries where the situation is more desperate, people need church, need religion, something to
they cling
give them
to
hope.
It. Yeah,
yeah.
So to we, rely on. Yeah, yeah, we started going to church very early, like. And singing in church and doing all that. But it didn't excuse you from being bad, because it was just a routine for us going to church just to please your mom and dad and that kind of thing. But then you learn a lot as well, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah. We'll talk about that later.
All right. Now we're going to take a little break and listen to some of your music.
Oh, thank you.
And we're going to start up with, would that be okay to start with Turn Up the Music?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want to say something about how you created this music or something?
Well, Turn Up was a song that's been on our minds for a long time. And with this guy called David Nicholas, and a guy called Tom Wiley. When we started the band, it's been a song, the riff has been around for a while, and we never got chance to be able to finish it as a tune. So 2 years ago, we just sat down and wrote the tune and recorded it, and it's one of our biggest songs up till date, and we are really excited that you guys are playing, and we hope everybody loves it.
Oh, I'm sure they will.
Thank you.
All right, so Turn Up the Music by Kug and the Zungu Brigade.
Selling them venomous syllables, eloquent and spilling them, giving them doses of hope bestowed in the messages, repping it, sending them frequency energy, frequently killing it, sequence delivery, real man I live in it, rebellion, freedom of speech, civil liberties, validity, credited, speed my soliloquy, need music, breathing the melodies, fuse with the beat and it boosts my virility, musical therapy, beautiful energy, food for my people, true solidarity, don't mind to the musical family, yes, they'll death, those poor, true tragedy, truth and analogies, musical allegories, I do this, use it, music to balance me, yo,
turn up the music. Turn up the music, play it. Oh, da, da, do, do, do.
on me, oh. Me a go get some singing on me, oh. Still me pan it, still right pan it. Now mention me, slow motion. Check for the body, make a rude boy see. That's where we walk and that's where we need. Turn up the music, play it. Turn up the music, play it.
Turn up the music by Cog and the Zongo Brigade. Yes, I love it. I love this riff. I love this music. I love this song. That's very cool.
And
that, that can thank you. That introduces us also to how did you get into music and how did you know that music would be like really your career?
I didn't know music would be my career. I didn't get into music till pretty later on in my life. I've always loved music. Being from Jamaica, you just totally engulfed with music all the time. Your neighbors play it loud, everyone plays it loud, no one ever complains, no one ever says turn the music down.
So
yeah, the music's always there, so it's been a part of me. And when I moved to England, like trying to adapt to life in England, I found a lot of like solace in music and listening to all different types of music. So I've always loved it, but never planned on being a live performer. And then when I did get into it, I definitely wanted people to hear my music, but I never wanted them to see me perform or even see a picture of me. I just wanted people to hear the music.
Why?
I think it's just a confidence thing, maybe. And I thought maybe if people saw me, they wouldn't like me, so they won't like the music either. So
why wouldn't they like you anyway?
I don't know. It's just
I don't know. How did you start actually to do, because you grew up with music, surrounded with music, but how did you get into it yourself?
So I went to chill at one of my friend's house and he started rapping. I knew he rapped, but I didn't know he was that good. And then my brother also joined in and he could rap, and I'm like, oh. And they said, have a go. I had a go at rapping, and it was totally rubbish, but he recorded it. And just because he recorded it, it was there as a reminder. I'm like, oh, I can do it better. I can definitely do it better. So each time I went to his house, I tried to do something better than I did last time. And after a while, he's like, Franz, you're getting pretty good. You should take it up. He was called Emil. Lanzalot, he was also a rapper, but he's stopped rapping now. But
why? You were too good for him?
No, he's more of a businessman. He's gone that way.
Well, he knew where the money was.
Yeah, exactly.
And
so,
then?
But then the first time I went on stage, absolutely loved it. And it was recorded as well, so I got a chance to watch it. And I thought, oh my God, that's rubbish. I didn't like my performance. I looked nervous on stage, and I thought, I can do better. So that's why I always try to do it better. So I'm like, I can't wait to get on stage. I think I can do it better than last time. And it sort of developed from there, trying to be better than I was last time. And just going to love being on stage.
Like, how old were you when it all started, kind of?
Well, I'd say I started rapping for the first time when I was like 25.
Wow.
Yeah. And when I was 30, I had my daughter.
Uh-huh.
And I just thought, right, I need to do something serious. And I decided to study to be a social worker and have a career and everything. But at the same time, I was also thinking, I need to do this music more seriously. So I did a degree for 3 years, but at the same time doing the degree, I ended up writing more music than actually doing the degree. Graduated and got a job and met Quake. Well, I knew Quake before, but we started like working together and the band started coming together. It was just started loving the energy of the music, and I just thought I could see something. I thought, if I leave my job, I'll give the music a full 100% chance. If it doesn't work, I'll go back to being a social worker. And
that was pretty smart, though.
We're still here doing music, so
No, that was smart, because I mean, you had an escape gate. I mean, you could actually rely on, but it's like, it's funny, it's like music was in competition with the security.
Yeah.
Kind,
yeah,
of.
Exactly, yeah,
and
yeah.
It won for so far.
Yeah, so far it's winning.
Cool. But it's funny because when we see you on stage, you are so confident. I mean, you show off so much confidence and you seem so confident.
Oh, thank you.
But it's very interesting to know, like, the progression.
Yeah. Well, working with Kweku as well, he's, well, I know he's not as confident as it looks, but he's super confident on stage. So I've got to keep up as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, we like inspire each other and push each other all the time.
Wow, that's nice. We'll go back to how you met, of course, but yeah, your answer, Kweku, on how did you meet music?
Yeah, well, I spent, my mom was like a church mouse. She was always in church. So like, even my conceiving me was based on church. My mom was really, like, she's a really strong Christian. So I was always in church, like, when I was a kid. So I was in church choirs. I started playing drums. Like, she always send me to church in the afternoons just to leave the house to give her peace of mind. And because it was a big church and they had all instruments, so all the kids and boys would all go to the church and just go drumming, you know, just not for music or anything, but we just love hanging around there and just having instruments. And I realized I could do it. Like, nobody really taught me, like, as in, and I realized when we go, I could do it. And then I spent more time in church. This was like, I was about 8 years, 9 years, and I joined choirs and I started singing. So music has always been a part. But as to making it a career, I had no idea. I've always wanted to be an artist, like, to do with, I love visual stuff. So I always saw myself more like maybe going to acting or art, you know, mm-hmm. things to do with expression and that. But I never knew I would do music till really I got to England. Like, as Franz was saying, in Ghana, everybody does music. In third world countries, people do it in, like, not serious, but everybody sings, everybody does something like that.
It's like a natural thing.
It's a natural thing that comes. You know, your mom is even I used to tell people, when your mom is beating you, she'll sing to you. Like, you know what I mean? That kind of thing. So, like, it's music. But I didn't take it serious till I got to England and I realized the potential and the amount of instruments. Because I could play little bits of instrument, it became more appealing to me, seeing that, oh, I could actually play guitar all day here instead of going to church and met a few good friends. And it just became a thing. And writing music has always been a part of, I love writing and I love writing music and writing different weird kind of music and taking it from a different perspective. And it's always been that kind of quirkiness about my music. What somebody is doing, I don't want to do the same, but I want to do it in such a way that it'll be my kind of thing. And going on stage, I really love stage. Like, he knows, I love the whole idea of going on stage and being the crazy person on stage, because it's an escape for me. I'm very shy, he knows, but when I'm on stage, it's an escape.
It's a whole
different thing, and it's a way of saying, look, here I am, and, like, after all this, I'm still here. Like, the rebellious spirit, like I was telling you, like, so me in France as well, a couple of years back, we're in the same situation. We have kids, we're growing. What do we do with our careers? Let's do a band. Let's give it all our, everything that we have, all our cultures, what we've seen in growing up, all our stories. Let's put it together, a big fire energy ball, and let's just do it. And then it became a thing. So I was in uni as well, but I just walked out of uni because I just couldn't stand the pressure. And I don't advise kids to leave uni and do music or anything. Like, if you're in education, do it. If you feel like you can do both, because I regret sometimes not going back to school. I'm like, if I had, like, France as a job, I'm like, now I don't have any, like, you know, I have a qualification, undergrad, but, like, if I leave music now, I'm like, it's everything that I have now, you know, so I have to either do it well and it becomes a career for me. So I had no kind of chance as in to go back to anything. So I took it extra serious and I'm like, look, I'm going to make this thing work, whether yes or no. And I just formed a career out of it. I just blagged it.
Like, sometimes it's actually good to not have a plan B.
Yeah.
Just give your plan A.
There's
everything.
No escape, so
there's
you have
no
to.
There's no option.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. Yeah. And it makes you, like, it makes you know your worth as an artist, and it gives you a story to tell people, and it's like, yo, this is how it happened for me, and ever since, it's been like that, and I'm grateful, to be honest. Like, we are in Marseille.
Yeah, so grateful. Guys. Like, music has taken us to places we didn't even dream of
going. If we show you where we come from, you'll be surprised, and you'll be like, wow, this is where we are today. Yeah.
The journey is beautiful.
Yeah. It's a beautiful journey.
It's a continuous journey as well.
Totally. And yeah, so how did you guys meet, actually?
So we probably first met at a gig. I was doing my thing, he was doing his thing, and then I'd watch him perform, he'd watch me perform. After like, yeah, oh, wicked, wicked. Then we'd end up being at another gig again, and that's how it really started. Yeah. Then you'd put on a gig, you'd invite me and my group, and we started linking up that way. And then one day we linked up to actually do a song together, and right, let's do another one. And then Kweku came with me, like, oh, I'm starting this band if you wanted it, and went, started practicing, and it just went on from there.
It just went on, yeah. I guess we've always had that affinity and respect for our work, because yeah, he definitely. Was in a big group, I was in another group, two different groups. But whenever I saw him, I'd be like, oh, this guy is he's a really good rapper, and I would want to work with his style. And then, but as years go on, we left different bands and did different projects. But yeah. In some kind of cosmic way,
yeah,
we just always end up meeting at the same gig. I'm like, oh. And yeah. Sometimes we'll go dance to their music and they'll come and just shout on our music. And it was just like a thing that was meant to happen. And we met in studios. And funny enough, the same producers, we started using the same producers.
Exactly. Like, without knowing.
Without even knowing. And I'll go to studio. I'm like, oh, you know this guy. I'm like, okay, you guys do a song together and we'll try. And we forced it initially, and we were like, oh, this song is not good, until we sat down together ourselves and we were like, we're going to do this plan. And then it just took off. It was just, honestly.
So when I even had my first son, I bumped into Kweku, who had his son. I'm like, oh, here's my son. His name's Zion. He's like, what's it? Oh, my son's name's Zion.
Yeah,
he's like,
you won't even believe it. And no, I didn't even have his number then, or his Facebook, or weren't even like, we just met at gigs. Yeah, yo, Franz, you all right? Yo, this is your band, And then we'll just perform. And then for years, he went, had a son, and I had a son as well. And we met somewhere, like, oh, that's my son, Zion. He's like, oh, that's my... And so we just knew that, this is something that is like, it's mystically put together. And
working with new people as well, it takes a while to click. But as soon as we started working, just like everything just clicked.
Yeah, and then it was just there,
Wow, beautiful. It was so funny because it really sounds like it was meant to be.
Yeah. Really. So a lot of the time on stage, we freestyle, and I don't know what he's going to do. He don't know what I'm going to do, but it just comes together really nicely.
It just comes together because I think we understand. On that. And I think if you're two artists and you know where you're going as well, and you have the same kind of common goal and common vision,
and common background as well.
Exactly. Our backgrounds is the same. Like, our parents are nurses. My mom is a nurse. Yeah. His mom is a nurse. Like, we know.
Is what?
A nurse.
Nurse, really?
Sorry. So it's like, we all grew up, it's the same. We all fear syringes. Like, we talk about, we talk about things that our mom, And so with all that, you kind of have a common foundation. Yeah. You're like, well, I don't even have to tell him what I'm going to do. Yeah. He knows that this is what's going to happen. And,
And in our music, we're telling life stories anyway. So it's easy.
It makes our music so easy because we say exactly how our lives. So we don't talk about things we don't do or we don't have, or we talk about things that happens, like reality. And I think that's why people connect to our music and the energy of the music, because it's like, it's raw and it's very genuine, coming from a place where you can tell it was brewed for a long time. Yeah.
I can also tell and testify that it's very generous.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
It's really authentic, sincere, and comes from the heart. You can really feel it. Actually, this brings me also to introduction of the Franz von song, because I think it's very interesting also to talk about that. When you say we compose, we write songs that we talk about our music. I'd like us to listen to this song, and I'd like you to tell us what it's about.
Cool. All right, so Franz von was written, because on the EP, when we first wrote our first EP, Aquaba, it's called Aquaba EP, our first EP, we realized that all the songs, because we have a big influence of rap in our thing, because Franz is a rapper in the band, like he's an MC, we realized that majority of the songs were very singy and very instrumental based. So we're like, we're going to write a song that's just going to be called Franz von, and it's going to have a lot of rap influence, but it's still going to be African based and Afro based, and it's still going to have that Afro beat appeal and everything. So we're like, we'll write a song and just call it Franz von.
Okay.
So we just said, okay. And then we just said, we'll write this song, we'll write a hook. That means there's no place you can stop, or there's nowhere in life that you can stop. The chorus says, me umada, where do I... It's quite dark, but like it says, where am I going to lay my head? That's what it means. Where am I going to lay my head? It means it's somebody searching for a place just to settle, but then there's so much things happening, so you keep moving and moving and moving and moving until you find that place where you can settle. That's what it means. That's what the chorus when you play, me umada, where am I going to rest my head? Mm. So it's like a journey for both of us. So we're like, well, write a journey, write a song, write a journal about yourself and put it in the song. And he wrote fantastic bars to it, and the song became a song. And it shows the journey. When you watch the video, it shows the journey of the little boy where he was attacked and he gets up and he goes. It's just the journey that we've been on. And we're like, well, this time on this song, make it your song. Tell us your journey.
Yeah. It's almost like, well, you can see the video, the kid's getting bullied or he's, but it's like finding your strength, finding your place and being who you are.
Yeah.
But also because he's taught to, I mean, he's like surrounded with masters that help him. And for me, it's a very strong message.
Exactly.
Also, the clip is amazing. Yeah, the video is just amazing.
Exactly.
But that's the message. It's also like rely on the people that can help you to grow.
Exactly.
And be a better person.
The people who point you in the right direction is them that you have to always give thanks to and listen to, you know, the right direction, positive direction. Yeah.
It's like the ancestors as well.
Definitely.
You know? There's a kind of like transmission.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know. All right. So let's listen to it now. So that's the Franz Von song.
One more for good.
Last one. Yeah. One more for peace and love. And then food.
Rap anthologies and scholarly, come follow my smoke trails. Burn herbs to get my dome clear. Spitting verses, every word clear. Lyrical syllables soliciting the dough here. Still on my hustle, listen bossy when the coast clear. I'm just a product of his road, showing no fear. Skin glowing, glisten lit up like a smoke flare. Illuminate or a rap cool, Dalai Lama. Living la vida loca, no tomorrow. Anticipated, so evade the drama. Calling my fate to karma. Predicted danger, watching every corner. Every stranger watching paranoia. But in the cape, I got my balaclava. Black gloves, black hoodie, bag of marijuana. Always focus and motive, mind over matter, moving mountains. Fountain of truth is where I swim, never drowning, never ready, been down since millennium 2000. Searching for knowledge of self in these surroundings with the invisible fences that keep us founded, shrouded in mystery, got my history looking clouded. Down with my people, repping bad machine, crowded. Rebellion, shout it loud, the sound of freedom resounded. Pound for pound, my fear grounded. Sound of the beast and the screams and the howling. How does it keep it so deep, never doubt me. Never doubt him, the depth so astounding. The levels that we peak, never sleep, only lounging. Born a devil, 777 on the crown still. Higher level with the reverence around with,
Yeah.
Hans von Song by Coggins' Zongo Brigade. Actually, who writes the song, who writes the music, the lyrics, how does it happen?
Oh, it's a complicated process.
So Kweku mostly writes the music, most of the music, but there's also sort of influences from other people in the band as well. But
okay.
So Kweku brings the music, the idea or the riff, and sort of build around it.
And we give it to the guitarist, and then they extend it, and they add, and then Franz takes it, and he writes it. It's like really, it's a collective, but it has to, because it's an ideology that I have towards how the band should be and what kind of sounds we play. If you leave it for everybody to write it, it'll be like floodgates.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because we have an ideology of Afrofusion, and I'm the African, and, you know, spearheading the process. Yeah. I'm like, well, I'll just suggest some riffs or some ideas or some concepts. And then we just sit down and write the music. So
right.
It's like quite...
And there's like 9 people involved as well. So
okay.
You
know,
with varied musical tastes. So you can imagine how...
Oh, yeah.
If you open the floodgates.
Forget it. Yeah. Songs will last forever.
Yeah.
But do you like Kweku write the words that you sing?
No.
Or do you write
your
own rap?
Lyrics, yeah.
Yeah, we write our own lyrics.
In rap and hip hop, it's sacrilege to have someone else write.
No.
You've always 100% got to write yourself.
All right.
I write the melody or the riff or the chorus or like the main bit of the song that's like panam padadan tadana or something like that. And then we'll be like, Franz, this is a beat. This is the idea of the song. It's about my mom or it's about my dad. You write whatever you want to do. And he writes according to the concept of what the underlining thing the song is trying to say. Yeah, the lyrics and everything. Yeah.
But weirdly enough, sometimes even if we do that separately without saying, we write similar things that will actually...
Yeah,
it's
so weird. It just happens.
Yeah, because I think because I've hung out with you too much, I need new friends, man.
I know what this guy's thinking.
Oh,
I'm in your mind all the time.
Exactly, you have no freedom.
And so why Kog and the Zongo Brigade? Why
it's
this name?
It's actually K-O-G, K.O.G.
And standing for?
Kweku of Ghana.
Oh, all right.
And so whole idea, when it started, before even Franz got involved, we used to do a jam somewhere in England. And a few of us, like with Phil and them lot and different bands, we would go to a studio somewhere in the wilderness somewhere in England, man's land in Oxford. And a few of us would just jam because I love live music.
Mm-hmm.
So I always wanted like musicians around and we would go there and we would jam. So the name Zongo means ghetto in Ghana. So it's like, I'm like, wow, I'm going to form a brigade. Like, but then KOG has always been my name, Kweku of Ghana. So when I had the idea to do it, I'm like, KOG and the Zongo Brigade is going to be a band. Like whoever wants to join, you could like a collective. That's how it started as a collective. And then soon we just pared it down to a few members, say commit. Because this is going well and we can write music. And then it became a thing, you know.
When I initially went to the first practice, I was like, right, I've always wanted to work with you anyway and I'm happy to do a couple of songs.
Yeah.
But I'm doing my own thing as well.
Yeah.
And that's how it started. And then as soon as I heard the music and we got into it, I'm just like, I'm not even, this is it.
We were all doing different stuff. But then when it came to that collective, it was just something special when we meet and we play. So we're like,
You were both engaged with another fiancé, but now that you met cosmically, then you're bound together.
Yeah, we divorced our other fiancé. Straight away.
That's an interesting way to put
it. We are very loyal men.
Because it really looks like a love story. I mean, to me, it's so funny because it could apply totally to like a couple.
Yeah.
But it's a music couple.
Mika.
This is my girly way to see it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Everybody says it's a cool story, isn't it? Everybody's like,
I
think one day Hollywood will come and beg us to put
us. Sure, of course.
We'll
Warner Bros.
We'll get the Oscar, the BAFTA.
Everything.
You're all set. So now I want to know, did your teenage period of life influenced your music, your art, your career? I mean, not career, let's not talk about careers, but about your artistry, your music.
Yeah, definitely. The experiences of Jamaica, England, growing up, being on the street, being in school, everything, it's like information, just taking in, soaking up information for years and then putting it back out. So yeah, definitely. Everything influences the music. So I look at it like I'm a rapper now. I'm an artist. I am whatever it is, it's me. So every experience can be related to through the music.
But did you write about your fears, about the changing, about how you lost confidence and regained it?
It's there in songs. If it's little bits comes through in songs. So for example, I studied social work. So then that actually comes through in the music as well. It's like every type of experience, the music is you, it's who you are. So yeah, everything influences the music.
Mm.
Yeah, I spend most of my teenage life doing music. I spent a lot of time doing music. So like that point in my life was very, very, very instrumental to me because I went to school, I was in a boarding school and I was doing music. Like it became everything to me. I didn't know it was going to be a career, but like at that early age, I got drawn to music and art so early that it kind of swayed me off academics a bit. And up to now, it has still swayed me off my academic line. But because it's a passion, you know, like we said, it's yourself. It's a true reflection of yourself. When you are genuine to your art, you don't have to. It becomes very easy for you because you are not trying to be anybody else.
Yeah.
You know, what I was in my teenage years and my adult years is the same thing I write about. You know what I mean? So the journey has always been marked in my head.
Yeah.
Through me, so I can sing different segments of my life,
yeah,
depending on what music we are writing. Like if you're going to write a song about, say, love, I can tell you so many instances, but then the instances all take me back to my teenage years because those were the most influential times, you know.
And shapes, yeah.
That's why teenage times is very, I think parents should be really, really, really conscious of your teenagers. And at that time is where I think you need a lot of parental love
or
you need a lot of support from people around you because at that time you're growing and your mind is exposed to so many things. It's what you imbibe in, what you take in. You know, we were taking stuff from the street, the music from the street, the music from the hustle, you know, the music from church. We had so much around us, you know, even though there wasn't a lot of internet and stuff. There was a lot of social activities, but now everything is being put in a box on a little phone or a computer. So there's no interaction. We actually playing truancy in school and running to go watch some dances and some concerts when we were teenagers, you know, made us like, you know, watching artists and you are only 16 and you are watching artists and you have to go hide because you are not allowed to get in. And it influences you so much. And when you grow up, you're like, you remember watching this guy when this is what the guy did and this is what happened. And I think, yeah, teenage life in me, well, I don't think I'm still an adult.
I was about to ask you, is there still a bit of the teenager in the adult you became if you did become an adult?
Yeah, it's really hard to be an adult. I don't even know why people want to be an adult. Like, we're still trapped in that world because it's such a beautiful world and it's a delicate world as well. It's very fragile. If you don't, you know, that's where everything happens, really, teenage. That's where your whole kind of social construct and your whole personality build, you get your confidence. That's where everything really becomes there, or before you get into adulthood. Yeah. So
having a real shape shifter.
Exactly.
And I think when you're younger, you live more in the moment. And music is all about being in that moment. Especially when you're on stage, when you're writing, it's about being in the moment. When you're an adult and you've got adult things to do, you're always thinking of the future, you're always thinking ahead, or you're thinking of the past, and it's hard to stay in the moment. So you need to have some sort of teenager or younger childlike self there that lives for that moment.
Yeah.
I think you really nailed it. That's very, very true. I never thought about it this way. That's very true.
Yeah. It's their moment, you know, and having somebody there, you know, we were lucky, you know, some of our cousins and, you know, because of the kind of social structure Africa is and Jamaica is, there's always somebody, your grandma is there, there's always somebody about to just shout at you or throw a stick at you or, you know, it's like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. So you're doing it, but you know that there's a strong social kind of audience, not audience, like parents.
Like support network.
There's a
support,
structure.
Yeah, structure, you know what I mean? Because you can come back from school and your parents are not there, but you can just go to your next door neighbor and she'll feed you, clothe you, because we had that good connection around us, you know, even though times were hard.
Yeah.
But you had that social, you know, support around you. And it's hard when you're growing up these days without you know, that kind of support, especially as a teenager, and you don't have people telling you, oh, this is not, because in your head, everything, like Fran said, is the moment. So in your head, you're just off. It comes to that time where you need that person to say, look, you're a good artist. You're a good art. You can draw really well. You're only 16. Come and draw this for me, you know, do this. And then it gives you that direction to put your art. Oh, somebody really likes it. I can make it into a career. You know, when we're going to church and we're singing on stage and that, and people were loving it, I'm like, oh, cool, I could do this, you know. So is that point, people, I think we should concentrate more on.
But I think a lot of kids haven't got the support network around them. So you've got to remember to trust in yourself and believe in what you're doing. And it won't happen overnight. Take time. Anything you're doing, just dedicate some time to it.
Yeah. Nothing happens overnight, honestly.
We'll end up with like the advices you can give to the kids. But for now, we're going to listen to, again, some music because we can stop listening to your music. So actually, that goes now. I mean, the title, Let You Go.
Yeah, Let You Go.
It's part of the journey.
Yeah.
What can you say about it?
It's almost a love song, but not.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's about a heartbreak song. Yeah. And
oh, so it's like a...
Yeah, kind of.
Well, a love song.
back again to me, because I had kind of a terrible time at a point, and I'm like, well, there's some things you should have let go, you know, like... There's some relationships like that you should not. You could just see that it's wrong, but then you're so engulfed in it that you can't let go. And then the whole song is like, I should have let you go.
And free yourself.
Yeah, free yourself. But sometimes you know how hard it is to say goodbye. And so it was that the whole song is about that. Yeah. We write various songs, we cover all sorts of, we write about anything.
But is it about freeing the person or freeing yourself?
Freeing myself, freeing ourselves, and letting you go so I can do my thing.
Yeah.
Really.
And it goes both ways. Yeah. So for the person as well, it's like, listen and...
Yeah. Obviously, if I say, I should have let you go, then you know that I'm freeing myself.
So maybe you should let go too.
You're holding on too tight.
Okay. In a nice way.
All right, so...
Let you go.
Let you go. keep the music, but then we're going to talk over it.
Yeah,
I would like to know, and to finish actually this interview, what kind of message would you have to give for teenagers who would, like you, make their way in music? And also, does it influence your answer by being parents?
Yeah, it definitely would. But I'd say definitely believe in yourself. And you can listen to people, but don't let people put you off what you want to do. If you know that's what you want, you might not even know that's what you want to do. But if it's something you love, just make sure you enjoy it. If you enjoy it, don't give it up.
Would that be also follow your instincts?
Yeah, definitely.
You've got to trust
your instincts. Yeah, sometimes you might be wrong, but trust your instincts. No one knows you better than you know yourself.
Well, I'll say one of the best things in life is to be true to yourself. You know, so if you want to do music as a teenager, it's two ways. You either go for it and do it properly, and make sure if it's a dream, you want to do it properly. Do you know what I mean? Master, practice. Don't let anybody wave you off. If you want to be an artist, like footballers, they train everybody. Everything comes with practice and hard work. It's not going to be easy. Even if you are talented, you can sing like whoever, all right. They all practice. So the only thing that makes you confident is when you've practiced and you know you are your own master of your own talent, and then nobody can waver your mind about nothing. You just have to keep your mind at air and just practice. Put your head down and say, look, I'm going to learn. I'm going to find all the channels to this dream that I have. It could be art, it could be music, it could be whatever. Like in this relation, we are talking about music. But what we did really, and we still do, is just practice.
Wow. Yeah. All right. Oh, that's beautiful.
Thank you so much
for all that. Really, we're going to like depart with a last song, Badjo.
Yeah, Badjo.
If you want to say something about it.
Can I just say, first, you've done an amazing job to even get us here. So we really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mika. Thank you, Radio Emma.
Yeah, exactly.
Big up to Radio Emma.
All right.
For having us here and all the kids, like, and all the children here. We wish you all good luck and follow your dream.
Yes.
Like, whatever you're doing, practice and do it well so that you can be the next generation of no matter what anybody. Listen, a problem is only a problem when you acknowledge it. So once you don't acknowledge it and you're going to work hard to fix it,
yeah,
that's all it is. And we wish everybody here good luck from England and Sheffield. And
more fire.
More fire every time. We love fire.
I do too. Thank you so much. That's Badjo. Thank you very, very much. You're welcome anytime to come back. We'll be waiting for you. And for now, for the time being,
should we do a freestyle or should we play Badjo?
All right, why not?
We're just going to do 8 bars each, front and back. I'm going to speak my pidgin language, like broken English, and he's going to speak in English. I think proper English, aren't you?
Yeah, speaking the Queen's English.
Yeah,
I can do it.
Okay. So I see your mind, I see your plan. I know the look for your money at the Go Japan. First to the last, we reach the sun. Play me one beat, make I do the dance. Original hustle, I use my hand. I know the fight with hammer, I know the fight with gun.
Yeah.
Check reality, the people demand. We the kill all the haters, bring it to one.
Yeah, man made the money, no money made the man that made the money don't want to break the bank. So we got to go for the goal with the whole gang. Yeah. Got to move on the road with the whole fam. Huh? Keep moving, new doors to open. Don't lose your focus, no dream is hopeless. Huh? So you do what you do, be the dopest.
Yeah.
If you love what you do, then it's bonus.
Yeah, man. Big up everyone out here. Big love, Marcel. One love. Fire.
Woohoo. All right. So now we'll leave you with Badjo. Thank you very much, Kagan. The Zongo Brigade. See you soon. Talk to you soon. Much, much love. Thank you.
We'll be right back. bars, cut syllables, yo. God body bless spiritual, microphone rituals, resurrection miracle. Manifest my essence, rest with the lyrical. Esoteric clothes, ghost metaphysical. Don't know rap, I don't know the pre, I'm despicable. I'm not your typical, talking little chicken soul. So listen to these words, I'm critical. Words analytical for breakdown, set to belt. Sit to war, through the bars, far home, I still. Far home, and I'll spit bars, overkill.